Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday.
Absolutely.
After Christmas.
After Christmas, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yes.
We're
Hallelujah.
In the Christmas season now.
Christ Hallelujah. Is born. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, now we're officially in the Christmas season. I know you're all exhausted from Christmas, but this is actually the beginning of it.
Just for the record, the 12 days of Christmas do consist of Christmas Day, 25th.
Yes.
Up through the baptism of the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
As the church celebrates. So anyway, for you hardline Christian.
Yeah, and for those of you that have had your tree up since Halloween, well, you're probably tired of the whole thing.
And for those of you that took it down on Christmas night, not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
anyway.
But I hope you had an awesome Christmas with your family and friends and
celebrating the birth of Jesus.
I'm sure everybody ate too much.
Yeah.
I know I did.
I played for a few masses.
I'm sure.
Yeah, more than a couple.
Yeah, I want you to talk a little bit later about some of the stuff that you're doing.
Yes.
But maybe we should just talk about Jesus being born first.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Why don't you read Luke chapter 2, the nativity account, because I think this is the coolest one of the bunch.
Okay. Do we want to read the birth of Jesus, the announcement of the birth, or just Luke 2?
Yeah, start Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 1.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over the flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Ooh, let's pause
Wow.
for a minute. That's awesome.
The heavenly chorus.
Heavenly chorus.
They didn't Music.
They didn't have me there singing. Or the shepherds would
I don't
said,
know what to say.
Let's not go there.
I don't know what to say about that. I probably should.
You know, God has appointed times for everything, as we started talking about last week.
Yeah.
And here we go. This is the appointed time. And I always thought it was funny that the civil leader, being the Emperor Augustus, is used by God so that Mary and Joseph can go to Bethlehem, because chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 have to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, baby Jesus can't be born in Nazareth.
Right.
Because the prophet said Bethlehem. So we have to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, and we have to time it so that she's going to deliver while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the civil ruler who's, you know, a pagan and thinks he's God and people are starting to worship him, he puts out this decree to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was so weird, because I don't know how they were in Galilee anyway. That's another story. But, you know, he doesn't say, "Go to your local post office and register," or we're going to set up little offices here and there for you to register. You have to go back to your ancestral home, because once again, we're emphasizing that Jesus is the son of David.
Yeah.
These two are both descended from David. They have to go back to David's city in order for the Messiah to be born there.
So if you were in the big sky country of Montana,
oh, yeah,
and you were actually born in, like, Miami, Florida, you'd have to travel all the way back and go
yeah
to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Or if, you know, if Joseph would have gone to Montana to live. Oh, no, he meant.
No.
No, he wouldn't have done it. Like, what no if he bought a ranch or something?
Well, God always does. He does intervene and use people, his creatures.
Yeah.
When the divine interacts with the human.
Yes. Exactly.
Now, I mean, there's a spiritual realm and there's a physical realm.
Mm-hmm.
And at times that spiritual realm, as it happened here, interacts with the physical realm. And God uses people to bring forth his plan.
Yeah. And if you, for those of you who know who Jonathan Kahn is, buy the book The Oracle, if you don't already have it. And the entire book is about how God uses people to be in a certain place at a certain time to get Israel established, have things that happened after established, and how they all correlate not only with times but what the readings are in the synagogue for that weekend. I mean, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So all that is used. And we talked last week about Messiah being born in these humble, simple, poor circumstances.
Yeah.
And he's the fullness of the Godhead, as Paul says in Colossians 1. And he's the Ancient of Days, as we know from Daniel. And it's the Creator coming into time,
mm-hmm,
the Son of David coming without any glory, without any riches, without any comforts, without yeah anything. Not like, well, God doesn't say, well, I'm going to make sure Messiah's born to, like, these really rich people who have this big palace out in the suburbs somewhere and have a horse farm and stuff.
Yeah.
No, he's born in this pathetic place, and he's the Creator coming in to really start the plan of salvation going in an intense way, which is going to lead to the cross now.
Yeah.
After all these centuries and maybe a couple of millennia of getting ready for Messiah and how is the plan going to unfold,
yeah,
now it's going to unfold in earnest and pointing to the cross, because this is why he came. And if you think Jesus just came to be a philosopher and a really extraordinarily good man, and that's why we should do what he says, you're missing the biggest part of why he came. As you mentioned last week, he came to bring salvation, to reconcile mankind to God, and that the Father is reconciling all things to himself through Jesus.
Right.
And it's pretty mind-boggling how this happens.
Yeah.
So when Paul writes in Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So that means if you had been there that night, or if you'd have been walking by, you would have heard a baby crying or heard some kind of commotion or something, and you'd have gone and looked in this place, whatever it was, and you'd have seen this baby laying in this straw, and you would have said, oh, what a cute baby. Too bad you guys had to have your baby out in this dirty place.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd be looking at the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah.
Mary and Joseph would have looked at the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah. And as you said, God used Caesar Augustus, the governor, and the governor of Syria, to bring this about.
Mm-hmm.
That Joseph and Mary would end up back in Bethlehem so that the prophecy would be fulfilled. But God even uses the lowly shepherds.
Yeah.
As part of his plan.
Yeah.
He reveals the birth of Messiah, and the shepherds are the one who first see him.
Yeah.
Isn't that, I mean,
The first announcement. Yeah.
The announcement is by angels to this, you know, to shepherds in the field. And it's just amazing that this is how God's plan is.
Yeah. The angels don't go to the temple and say, hey, high priest, the Messiah has just been born.
Yeah.
Why don't you go over and check it out? He doesn't go to see the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees or the elders.
Mm-mm.
He goes to these shepherds.
Yeah.
And they're just out there working, you know,
mm-hmm,
doing the sheep. And maybe it's the middle of the night.
And all of a sudden.
Yeah. And there's an interesting of course, you all know there's this interesting progression of shepherds. You know, Moses was, well, Abraham kind of was a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the good shepherd.
Right.
So the shepherds get the first announcement while they're caring for these sheep. And of course, this is where we get our word pastor. Mm-hmm. It means a shepherd.
Right.
Somebody who takes care of the sheep.
Yeah.
But they're the first to get the news, not the bigwigs, not the establishment,
yeah,
not the religious leaders. And like you say, all of a sudden the glory is all around them.
Yeah.
That's when it gets a little scary.
Can you imagine that? The
yeah,
heavens open up and there's a multitude of angels with the heavenly host
yeah,
praising God.
Whew.
Wow.
Yeah, and the sky's all lit up.
And they would have been in perfect four-part harmony.
Really?
Yes.
What does that mean? Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
We'll talk about that soon.
But they only used minor chords because they were in Israel. So they didn't use major chords.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, no, they were singing.
Oh,
they didn't have any instruments, probably. They just sang.
They used minor scales.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Melodic minor scales.
That's singing stuff?
Oh, that's just music theory stuff.
Well, so they come and they say this is good news to all people. They don't say it's just good news for you guys. They don't say it's good news for all the people living within a couple hundred miles of here. They say it's good news for everybody, including unclean, disgusting Gentiles, wherever they may be, including those who live in Ohio in the 21st century. It's good news to all people. And it talks about how there's a savior that's born. And this is a savior for mankind. He's not a savior for angels. You know, he doesn't come to save fallen angels. He comes to save fallen man, which is incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the angels, you know, they can understand these things.
Yeah.
But he comes to save. And so this is news of great joy. I mean, what
yeah,
bigger joy could there be when you realize, well, I'm actually kind of a jerk, but I can be saved. I'm actually not a very good person all the time, some of the time, most of the time, but I can be saved.
Yeah. I mean, that's the mystery, is that there's no salvation for the angels because they were in the presence of God. They've already seen the glory of God.
Amen. Yeah.
And they chose to rebel against him.
Yes. And they say, this Savior is Christ the Lord. He's yeah, Messiah and Lord.
Right.
They don't just say he's an extraordinarily good man who's going to teach you a lot of stuff. They're going to say he's Savior and he's Lord. He's the yeah, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in David's city and he's born this day. So after all this time through the scripture of someday this and someday and someday and in the future and in the now he's born this day in the place that's foretold by the prophet Micah. So this is amazing.
It's extraordinary. I mean, it's an extraordinary event in human history. And as I've heard people say this many times, it's like, you know, if I was going to do this, I would have had him born in the temple.
Yeah.
There would have been all this fanfare. Everybody would have known about it.
Yeah.
But God chooses to do it in his way because, as in Isaiah, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways.
Mm-hmm.
So high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why trying to comprehend the mind of God can be at times probably seemingly impossible, but God does impart to us wisdom through the grace of the Holy Spirit. And he does give people glimpses of that infinite wisdom that he has,
mm-hmm,
you know, and he's revealed to us through the ages, through prophets, through scripture, pieces of himself so that we can see him for who he is,
yes,
and not for how we want him to be.
Mm, wow. Well put. Wow. Just like we're always talking about, people want to create God in their own image.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create salvation in our own
yeah,
plan.
I mean, think about it. The image of the Godhead resides in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes, who couldn't even get up out of the manger and
right,
walk across the stable.
He had to be carried. He had to be nursed just like
yeah,
every other baby.
Yes.
He was.
He cried.
Just as that shoot that sprouted from the stump of Jesse.
Oh,
you know, that green shoot is so fragile. So too was the birth of Jesus.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
And he's going to get the, glory for our redemption. God gets the glory from our redemption.
That is true.
If we earned our salvation, then God wouldn't get the glory, because we'd get the glory because we earned it.
Right.
But he's going to get the glory. And the angel said, this is really highest glory, because but now there's a way for mankind to be redeemed.
Yeah.
Now there's a way for people to be reconciled to God in a way that nobody really understood. And I think the shepherds get so excited, they say, let's go and see him. Let's go see what's happened. They don't say, yeah, we'll catch him tomorrow sometime, because it's the middle of the night or whatever time it was. But it's obviously nighttime. They go, let's go and see him. We want to experience this now. Without, they didn't even understand what was happening.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat. Then they think, you know, they didn't doubt that this was the Messiah. You know, the shepherds don't go there and say, you mean we came all the way over here just to see this? I mean, it's a baby in a manger.
Well, it says they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the message that had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed by what had been told to them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. They just went back to their fields and tended their flocks.
Yes, yes. And they were thankful for having experience. Yeah, what a night. They probably didn't go back and go to sleep. They stayed up the rest of the night. Even without coffee, they were up the rest of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, they were thankful for this experience.
Yeah.
And they didn't doubt what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when you see that glory and the angels singing and stuff, it's kind of hard to say, I don't think that's anything. But wow, it's you know, as you were pointing out last week, or we were talking about last week or the week before, this is what's been lost in our time, the fact that we don't grasp the depth of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like when they say, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think about what this birth actually was, you don't get what happened there.
Yeah.
And now our culture's managed to dilute all of this out.
Yeah.
It's so, I'm just really glad I don't have young kids now, because I don't even know how you would fight the culture and try to teach them anything. It was bad enough when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Now it's orders of magnitude worse. But this is such a profound fulfillment of all the prophecy that went before.
Yeah.
So.
Very much so.
That's why we like to say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays.
Exactly.
But now, before we go on too much further, we have some really important stuff to talk about.
We do?
Yeah, we do.
What could that be?
Do you want to start, or do you want me to start?
I think you should start.
You want me to start?
I think you should start.
Well, my good friend Stephen Garchar, as I always say at the beginning of the program, and we've been friends for a long time, and we've done a lot of stuff together and a lot of ministry together, is going to be leaving the show for some period of time, or maybe, we don't know yet, some indefinite period of time. But he's going to explain to you he's got a lot of exciting stuff coming up that the Lord's doing in his life. And some of it he's already gotten started, and I know there's going to be a lot more to come.
Yeah.
But starting next week, which will be the first Sunday of 2020, I can't believe it's going to be 2020.
I know.
I have a joke a lot of you probably don't know that I have visual problems. And so I've been joking that the year is going to be 2020, but I won't be.
You never know.
But it's okay.
God might restore that.
That's true.
We pray that God restores that.
So next Sunday, the first Sunday of the year.
In the name of Jesus.
You're just going to have to thank you. You're just going to have to put up with me babbling. And I know a lot of you will send emails saying, where's that Garchar guy?
They may not.
Yeah, so I have to say, and, you know, Steve and I, like I say, have been friends a long, long time. And it's been so awesome doing this with him for about, I don't know if it's 10 years or 11 years now.
Yeah,
we started in 09.
Yeah.
When Denny Carlton had the show.
Yeah.
And we came once to talk about messianic music. And that was like 11 years ago.
Didn't foresee this all happening.
No. And it's been fun. And I always like our rehearsal when, they're about to turn on the recorder and Steve goes, so what are we going to talk about today? I said, I don't know.
Well, a lot of it is, I mean, it has been by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I would say 99.9% of it has been.
Yes.
You know, I think there's very few times where we like went off on our own thought or anything like that.
Oh yeah, hardly ever.
But, what's been taking place is, I'm sure you've heard us mention that I minister music at a church. I minister music at two churches. One in the Diocese of Youngstown and one in the Diocese of Cleveland. And I've done that at both parishes now for, gosh, 9.5 years. Mm. Close to 13 at St. Rose and then 9.5 years at St. Hilary. And so Sundays are very busy for me because I play for a lot of masses. I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm privileged to have two ministry positions where I can sing and give praise to the Lord through song. But about 6 years ago, maybe seven, I started getting the inspiration to compose some songs. And the first song that came to me was, it's called Daughters of Jerusalem, and it was for Living Stations. Actually, the aid station when Jesus meets the Daughters of Jerusalem. And so they asked about putting a song together, and I sat down and I prayed about it for a little bit, and then a nice melody came out, and they liked it. And so then as I was preparing for Masses, I would read the readings of the day, and I would read the psalm response, and there were some psalm responses that we didn't have music for. They weren't set to music. And eventually, some of those I began to, as I'm reading the psalm, I got the sense of hearing it in a melodic phrase. And so I would start, putting those ideas together. I have a music, software that I can score out the music with. But for the most part, I would sketch out the idea, put chords to it, put, notes to it, and then have it ready so that we could actually sing it at Mass. Now there's about 37 or 38 psalm responses that I've set to music. There's a Mass setting that I composed and then an Exalted that we sing for Easter. Mm. So this has all been happening over the last 6+ years. But what I haven't had the chance to do or the time to do very much of is to really compose it and score it out that it's publishable. And that's what I keep on getting a sense to do is that to put a piano score to it so that other people can play it. If I just have a lead sheet with guitar chords, somebody can play it, but they'd have to hear another recording of it in order for them to play it how I hear it. But with a piano score, it's virtually playable by anybody that can play it.
Even me?
Even you. Anybody that can read music, I should say. I'm not judging you if you can or cannot read music. But for probably the last year and a half, the Lord's been really placing that on my heart to get this done. And I keep on looking for time to do it and time to do it and time to do it. And I started getting the sense to maybe I need to put a couple things on hold and take care of what the Lord's asking me to take care of. This was one of the areas, the radio show was one of the areas where I got the sense that maybe that's the avenue that I have to put on hold for a little bit so that I can do this and then see where things, see where the Lord leads me with that.
And this is a good point of being led by the Spirit to what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So I've really been praying about this for close to 2 years. Phil's only known about it for about 2 minutes. But it's been a great journey and, I will keep you in my prayers,
Thank
and I will
you.
Keep the show in our prayers, and hopefully one day I can return and do another show with you.
Yeah. And Steve's going to be recording some podcasts off and on, and so you'll still be hearing from him once in a while, and you can still hear the old shows on giftofgraceministries.org. That'll be the same, but it's been awesome having you all these years, and it's been a blessing.
Same here.
Hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you will enrich your life with Jesus Christ through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.